All right, if you guys have your Bibles, open them up. Please go to the book that we call 1 Corinthians. So we're getting back on track now that Holy Week is over. This is the first Sunday after Resurrection Sunday, first Sunday after Holy Week. You guys made it in. Praise the Lord. Thank Jesus. We are going to be in chapter 12, continuing on. Probably, God willing, end our series going through the overall book series, 1 Corinthians. This one is on the spiritual gifts. We'll continue discussing spiritual gifts into chapter 13 and 14. But we're going to pick up today at verse 7. Please stand with me if you're able to. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 at verse 7. We'll be sitting for a bit, so it's good to stand. And I'm going to open up with an illustration that you all are going to partake in as well, with a little help. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to pick up at verse 7. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kind of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." Father in heaven, open up our understanding, please, of your holy word. You tell us in this chapter to not be ignorant about spiritual gifts. So try and take a slow trek through this chapter, a slow journey that we can digest this, that we can unpack it, uncover, and discover the things that you might want to speak to each and every one of the hearts here. You're going to give the gifts, it says here, distributing to each one of us individually, and it's according to your will. So help us to discover what spiritual gifts you've given us so that we can answer our calling that you've got. You've got a calling for every Christian. Help us to know, to discover, to do those things, Lord. The reason why we're alive right now is to give you glory and you alone, for we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. All right, you guys are going to have a seat if you would, please. So as we start, we're going to do a fun test here at the start. We're going to test your ability to discern light and dark. I know it's a pretty bright day, so we probably should have picked this in the wintertime, but that's where we are right now in the scriptures. We're going to do a test with each of us here to test the ability of your eyes to detect light and dark with all you guys here, okay? You guys ready for this? Okay, so with some help here, here's what I want you to do. I'll do it with you. Look up and just close your eyes. Don't worry, no one's going to like steal your phone or anything. Let your eyes adjust. And you'll notice that God had designed your eyelids that you can detect something. So we're going to test your ability for your eyes to detect light and dark. So right now, after adjusting to the current light in the room, we're going to change things a little bit. Okay? Go ahead. So with your eyes closed, raise your hand if you can discern when it gets darker. Anybody else? Some of you guys are sitting right underneath the light. Some of you are more discerning than others. It's a better illustration than I thought it would be. Can you tell? Did it get darker? Raise your hand if you could tell it got darker. Okay, some of you guys kind of ish. It's a bright day. We've got a lot of this, the sun, the lights here above. All right, now with your eyes still closed, we're going to test the opposite. Keep your eyes closed. Raise your hand if you can discern when it gets lighter. Okay, so some of you can tell when it gets lighter, right? Raise your hand high. So you're able to, you can open your eyes now. Thank you guys for playing. Congratulations. So that was just a test. By the way, do you notice that God designed your eyes, even your eyelids? Isn't that incredible? We didn't evolve. We're created to rise and fall with the sun. That's why even if you're like really tired and the sun is already up, and You can detect the light, and it will wake you up. Anybody like that? Okay. And if you're sleeping in the dark, and it's like 10 p.m. at night, it's already dark, someone comes and turns on the light, and you're tired, what do you say? What do you shout out? Like, turn off the lights, right? It wakes you up. Well, okay, husband and wife go through that, not you. So your eyelids even, the way that God created you, even your eyelids can discern light from dark, right? Anybody realize that? Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't that? So that's also one of the many, many, many proofs that we didn't evolve, we were created. So God gave your eyes the ability to discern light from darkness. So in a somewhat similar way, God gives his born-again children the ability within, spiritually, the ability within to detect or discern between spiritual light and spiritual darkness. So just as we might sing, there's a song that goes, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, right? So what? If you're not saved, you're sitting there like, what are we singing about? Ooh, it's weird. You see things? But once you're saved, you realize that God speaks to you within. Like, are you hearing voices? Yeah, the voice of God. Are you seeing things? Yeah. You could see God at work. Anybody know that? Okay. And before you got saved, who here thought that was like crazy cuckoo? Okay. Like, these Christians say they hear things and they see things. Lock them up. So when it comes to discernment, the late, great Oswald Chambers once said, and I'll display it here on the screen. So Oswald Chambers, beware of allowing the discernment of right in another to blind you to the fact that you are what you are by the grace of God. Oswald Chambers. So as we talk about discernment, we also have to say in this day and age, the day of the internet, because there's all these, quote, discernment ministries that popped up. They're like modern day Pharisees. Not all of them, but some of them, like, they'll look at Jesus even, like, oh, they'll be able to detect all the sin in him. But there's no sin. So we got to be careful, okay? So we're not to be sin sniffers, amen? But I like what I learned from Greg Laurie, to be fruit inspectors. Let's see and look at the positive results of what God is doing. Although he does give a spiritual gift called the gift of discernment or discerning of spirits. So as we open up today and look at this next spiritual gift, this gift that we call discerning of spirits, you'll find it here in verse 10. Let's just remember these things. We're called to be more the fruit inspectors than sin sniffers. Amen? Okay. And yet, sin sniffers is not in there. Okay, so we're going to start by taking a look today at the spiritual gift called discerning of spirits. And so it's this passage here that we opened up and read. And I highlighted it here. You'll see on your screen on the display. Discerning of spirits. It's also known as a gift of discernment, or even distinguishing of spirits. And this spiritual gift is mentioned only once in the Bible and only here. So I dug in, so you don't have to. That's my job. I want to do the research and dig in. And like, you want to mine God's word for truth. Amen? When you find a gold nugget, you want to show that to people. So here's what my Bible study software showed. This is a screen capture on the left side, or actually, for you and I, it's the right side on the screen here. This word for discerning, it can also mean a distinguishing, a judging. Just like your eyes, your physical eyes, with your eyelids closed, you're able to distinguish or judge when it got darker and when it got lighter, correct? That's a neat thing about doing Bible studies like this. You're going to go home and later on, when you're sleeping, you're going to remember this Bible study. They turn off the lights. So God designs your eyes physically that you could detect, you can discern light and darkness. That's a spiritual metaphor. So to discern, if you can just look this up in a regular dictionary, it means to perceive or to recognize something. So there is a supernatural ability to perceive what kind of a spirit, let's say, may be motivating someone to say or to do something. So let's say here within this local church, and this applies to any church, as well as what happened back then at Corinth. Let's say someone comes in our mix, and they come in here and they say, God told me this. And we're like, uh-oh, okay, well, so what did God tell you? And we're having to judge over that. So how can we tell? Someone said, God said to them. How can you tell? Well, one of the ways you and I can tell if something came from God, or maybe it's just them. Maybe it's the pizza they ate. Maybe they ate too much cake. They're like, oh, my sugar's just off. Any of you guys freak out when you eat too much sugar? I'm at that age now when I get older. Like I got to be careful. It kind of hurts my head. I get headaches, actually, if I eat too much sugar. Some of you guys like that? When I was a kid, I didn't get over that. I didn't know. We were like high on sugar when we were kids. So maybe something's different. But how can I tell spiritually if something came from God? Well, there is a spiritual gift that God gives some, not all, in the church called discerning of spirits. So it's the ability to distinguish, to detect, just like your eyelids did, to detect spiritual light versus spiritual darkness. How can I tell? Well, my Bible shows me that already in three chapters into the Bible in Genesis 3, can the devil quote God's word? Oh, yeah. The first book of the New Testament, the book of Matthew, the temptation of Christ. Jesus Christ himself, the one that created all the angels, and the fallen angel, Lucifer, the devil, Satan, who led a third of the angels away. He was deceived. He led a third of them away. He even quoted God's word to Jesus himself. Wow. So can we as Christians have someone, either a demon maybe speak to us, or maybe someone is demonically possessed or demonically inspired, can they be used by the devil to quote scripture to us? Yeah, so how can I tell? After all, we don't want to just come home and say, hey, it must be of God. That person quoted the Bible. They said the name Jesus. So we don't want to be deceived. Amen? We want to believe Jesus, but don't be deceived by the enemy. So how can we tell? Well, one of the ways is, especially within a congregational setting, God gives a spiritual gift called the gift of discernment, or distinguishing, discerning of spirits. Here's something that someone else said regarding this. You can look this up. This is also on Blue Letter Bible. Great resource. Don Stewart is another Calvary Chapel guy. He wrote an article on Blue Letter Bible called What is the Gift of Discernment or Distinguishing of Spirits? Here's what he says. Since discernment of spirits is mentioned after the gift of prophecy, you'll see it listed here in verse 10. After the gift of prophecy, it provides an immediate clue as to its function. It is the ability to determine between what was genuine revelation from God and that which is false. And praise God for that gift. Okay? Or else, again, someone could come into this setting or any local church setting and say, thus saith the Lord, God told me this. And maybe they'll sit there and go, God says that each of you have got to give a $100 love offering. And then we'll sit there and go, was that God or is he trying to be God? Okay? So there's a gift. It's check and balance, amen? Just like with our government, there's check and balance. So you can be assured of these things. So we got to pray. Pray for that. Is that a gift that God would give today? Yes, we believe so. And then it can keep things in check. All right? So just want to go through a couple of these things for you. In general, discernment, distinguishing, in general, discernment is given to every born-again Christian. Okay, so when they get saved, when you and I get saved, he's going to take us from being unclean, so to speak, to being, so to speak, one of his sheep. And Jesus is a good shepherd, amen? So when he does that with us, God tells us in the Bible, in the book of John, Jesus himself with his words, he tells us all three, Father, Son, and Spirit, come to live, abide, reside, dwell within the born-again Christian. So he comes to live within you, and this Holy Spirit now living within you is going to speak to you. Who here knows that? He's going to speak to you. That's why sometimes we think, wow, is that crazy Christian? Are they hearing voices? Yes, you and I might be hearing the voice of God. He comes to live within you. And think about this too. We describe him, according to God's word, as the Holy Spirit. He's going to train you for something. What is that? Holiness. It's his job. God the Spirit himself comes to live within you. And he's going to have you distinguish or discern when an unholy spirit's around. Hey, this is New York City, guys. Let's get real. Just going through the subways, you could tell. Right? Some of us work on, you know, the buses, right? Miss Naomi, keep her in prayer. She's a tiny lady driving the MTA bus around. You can tell. Sometimes it's like, wow. You get, sometimes you're going the subways and all, and you just see someone maybe freaking out in front of you, and you're like, okay, there's a real devil. Someone could be maybe a little off, maybe, but they could be spiritually off, and because you're a born-again, spiritful Christian, the Holy Spirit lives within his children, you can kind of sniff it out when there's something unholy there. Anybody realize that? As you grow closer to Jesus, you're going to have that discernment, that ability grow and increase. Please know that. That's something beautiful to embrace. So in general, discernment is given to every born-again Christian because God's Holy Spirit comes to live within the born-again Christian. And now the born-again Christian, you and I, as we walk closer with God, being led of the Holy Spirit, he's going to now give that Christian a spiritual discernment when unholy spirits are around. Okay, when you're reading in the Bible, you see Jesus, he goes to various places, and it's like the demon-possessed start coming out of the woodworks. They come to him. You're like, well, that's weird. And then the book of Acts, after Jesus, is, you know, he dies, he's buried, he resurrects, and he ascends. That's Acts chapter 1. He ascends into heaven, and now Acts 2, the Spirit of God comes down. He's empowering us, indwelling us, filling us, working through us. And you see in this 28-chapter book, when the apostles are going about their ministry and doing missions all over, it seems like those that are born again, spirit-filled, when they come into an area because they have Jesus in their life, they walk around with the Holy Spirit within them, and when they go into an area, it seems like the same thing that happened with Jesus. The demon-possessed start coming out of the woodworks, right? You and I, as we grow closer to Christ, you are going to have more and more an ability, a discernment, just like we tested our eyelids, our eyes. You have a physical ability to detect light from darkness. Well, guys, as you grow with God, you're going to have more and more of a spiritual, supernatural ability to detect spiritual light from spiritual darkness. That's why before you got saved, you're probably like, oh, that's just guy's a weird person, or maybe they thought you were weird, right? I was one of those people that others thought were weird, so to speak. You get saved, and now you're birthed into this new family. God is now your father. Satan's no longer your father. And now God comes to live within you. And you might start to see really quickly, wow, there's a real spiritual realm. Anybody realize that? There's a real spiritual realm out there. You can't see them physically with your eyes, but you can see them as they might be working through others. So there's a general discernment that God gives to all of his children. Let me first tell you a little story here. Some time ago, it was about 25 years ago, I was blessed to be on staff with, it was Calvary Chapel Bible College in California. And so I'm got off my memory. I'm like 56 now. Once you sit there and like, you pass a certain age, I ask my daughter sometimes, it's like, where do we park the car? I forget things. So bear with me as I go back in this little jaunt back in history. About 25 years ago, I was blessed to teach a class on John's epistles. So 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And I was living as a missionary in this one city. It's called Rancho Santa Margarita in Orange County, just above San Diego. And I was eating dinner with my friend named Sam. And Sam got saved. He was in a cult that did not believe Jesus was God. And just by listening to J. Vernon McGee on the radio, a dead Texan, he's not Calvary Chapel, but he's teaching through the Bible just the same. He was just listening to this teaching through the Bible, and he got saved because he realized Jesus is God, and this is what the Bible says. So he and I would always talk about scriptures, and we rejoice when we found a scripture that shows that Jesus is God himself, not man who becomes God like the cults believe, but Jesus is God. And we looked at this scripture. I'm going to put on the display for you. So I'm sitting there eating dinner with Sam in his house. This is like an hour before I had to go and teach a class. And we're eating, and I go, oh, Sam, I got another one for you. It's 1 John 5:20, and here's what it says. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So John tells us that you and I, we must believe Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, he's God. He's the true God. He's eternal life. So we were rejoicing over this verse, like, oh, just eating dinner. Like, oh, that's so cool. Hey, listen, you know, we would talk all the time about scriptures we found that prove that Jesus is God. We just rejoiced. That was a commonality that we would talk about. An hour later, I'm in class, and we're recording. Okay, they actually recorded. Remember cassette tapes? Who here remembers cassette tapes? You got to be older. The kids are like, MP3s? What are you talking about, cassette tapes? 8-track. Who here remembers 8-track? Okay, we're getting older now. All right. So we're recording. It's just, you know, audio recording to keep us accountable as we teach. It was on cassette. I started teaching this class on 1 John, this book. In comes this guy. He comes late. He sits right in the front, like this close. He sits down, and he's looking up, and he looks at me, and he says, 1 John 5:20. He didn't even say hi or anything. I think he just looked, 1 John 5:20. I'm like, what? He kind of, you know, woke up the class. He looks at me, 1 John 5:20. He says something to the effect of, I'm telling you that so that you know next time who I am. And I'm like, in the back of my head, I'm like, Legion? You know, like, what's going on? So as we're talking about discerning of spirits, that was a weird oogie-boogie experience I had. I'm like, no, keep in mind, I'm being recorded. There's a class, I don't know how many, 15, 20 people or something in the class. But when he said that, immediately, everybody's facing forward because I was teaching the class. Immediately, I saw some heads bow down. There's like praying and interceding. Some of my friends I knew, they're like really spiritually sensitive. They discerned like something oogie-boogie is going on in the class. I'm like, I'm teaching this college class of 1 John. This 1 John is the one that says, don't believe the spirits, will test them to see whether they're from God or not. Many false prophets have gone out in the world. And here's a guy like actually exemplifying. I'm like, and above and beyond that, I told the pastor of the college, like, here's something I got to keep this guy accountable and I got to, you know, report back to you. This guy should not be in a Bible college. This guy needs to get saved. So I was just discerning right away, like, wow, what's going on? I had to kind of filter through that right away. So what had happened is this guy knew about this verse, but the only way possible for him to have known that me and my friend Sam talked about 1 John 5:20, the only way possible is spiritual. Now, as we're talking about this gift, the spiritual gift of discerning of spirits, and even within the context of that book, I'm like, later on, as this guy kind of got taken out of class for a little bit, we all were discussing it. I had to do a lot of counseling and ministering afterwards. We're like, we just had a real life experience of 1 John. Because he says, don't believe the spirits, but test them to see whether they're from God or not. And here comes this guy into the class. So only an hour before, I was eating dinner with my friend Sam, just him and I. So here's probably what happened, I can surmise. A demon, let's just say. Not from God, but from the enemy. A demon, a fallen angel, if you want to call it that, was there listening to our conversation. Couldn't see him. That's how it goes in the spiritual realm. Couldn't see him. And then later on, this guy comes in the class, sits down right in front of me, looks up at me, says, 1 John 5:20. Like the only way that he would have known about that is, number one, he was either demon-possessed himself, or at the very least, demonically inspired to say that. Because he felt like bold and confident about it. Everybody else in the room was like, ah! Like, you know, I don't, if you have hair on the back, it's like, woo! So if those kind of things happen to you, know that in general, again, God gives discernment to his sheep, to his people, to born-again Christians. There is, though, a spiritual gift called discernment of spirits. We had in that class, like again, it's like 25 years ago. I'm like, that's kind of neat. It's the living, active word. That might not be what you want, or even for me as a teacher, but we got to see that as a class. And then people were like more serious about Christ and like, oh, I want this class now. Because we got to see the living, active word right in front of us. It was interesting. The neat thing about it is later on, that guy got saved. But we found that he wasn't saved, and found out later on that he had, I guess, dabbled in a bunch of like hardcore drugs and all, and probably just doing a bunch of demonic stuff. But those things kind of came to the surface. Okay? So as you grow closer to Christ, you may have experiences like that. That was just for me. That was just one of the experiences. So let's continue on. Just know that even in that book, 1 John chapter 4 says, beloved, don't believe the spirits, but test them to see whether they're from God or not, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So we got to be careful. So the gift of discerning of spirits, you might ask, where is it in the Bible? Here's a really good example. Technically, we might not call this the spiritual gift because those are given to the church. And Jesus had to die first, be buried, resurrect, and ascend. That's Acts 1. And then Spirit poured out, which is Acts 2, giving empowerment and gifts. But we do see a great example. This is Matthew chapter 16. I put on the display. Let's look at this. This is Christ Jesus himself. It says in Matthew 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Going down to verse 16, it says, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for, and I color-code this, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then down to verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. Verse 23, but he, speaking of Jesus, turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. The guy that he just said, hey, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. You're spiritual. This is the way probably Peter and the gang looked at it. Oh, wow. He's got some inside revelation there. And the next thing Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. It's like, I don't know about you, but Jesus never called me Satan. And praise God, Jesus still used Peter's life, amen? He could use his life, he could use our life. Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Notice, though, when I color-coded this in this chapter, notice that Jesus was able to discern the difference between, we might say, the three voices or three motivations that you have in life. So the gift of discerning of spirits, some would say it like this, just a simplistic way to describe it. It's the ability, a supernatural ability, to distinguish the three different voices or motivations you and I have in life. Number one is the spirit of man, or what the Bible calls the flesh. Notice that Jesus mentions in red here, flesh and blood. Peter, you're not so smart that you came up with this on your own. This is your own, we might say, the flesh, your personal ambition, your goals, your dreams, your desires. Jesus also mentions, he says here, quote, my Father who is in heaven. So Jesus detected Simon Peter was revealed this by the Spirit of God. It's the second voice, as described here in this chapter. And notice, third, Jesus mentions to the same person, color-coded here on the screen, on the display, verse 23, he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Wow. So notice for the same one person, Peter, Jesus teaches us that we can have three motivations, three voices that we might hear to motivate us to say or do things. The spirit of self, the spirit of God, or the spirit of the enemy, Satan himself. Notice also, just a side note here, the epitome of Satan, it's not that Peter himself became Satan. It's not that Peter was demon-possessed by Satan. The epitome of Satan, you find this all throughout the Bible, the epitome of Satan is he always wants to go against the Heavenly Father's will. Amen? So Christian, knowing that, just take a side note here on discussing this while we're at the scripture, knowing that when you are revealed God's will for your own life, what you can expect many times is spiritual warfare. Okay? There's the internal warfare, the spirit versus the flesh going on, and the external warfare, where Satan's like, oh no. Even trying to get Peter to tell Jesus, no, you don't have to get crucified. What would happen if Jesus sat there and goes, Peter, you know, that's a good idea. You know, my flesh doesn't like to be crucified with nails. That's a good idea. I'm going to take your advice. I'm not going to get crucified. By the way, later on, you're going to say, you'll take it from me. Why don't you get crucified for me? I'll just sit here and I'll smile. I'll take a selfie with, hey, look at Peter, taking one for me. Sorry. So good thing that Jesus didn't listen to Peter's advice, which did not come from Peter, not the flesh and blood, didn't come from God the Father. Who did it come from? Satan. We got to be careful, all right? By the way, on that same note, once you're born again, you do have God's Spirit living within, and you are occupado. Like when you go on the airplane, you see occupado, right? Occupied. You're occupied by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. An unholy spirit cannot occupy you if you're saved. Okay, good reason to get saved. Amen? Once you are born again, God lives within you. Your spirit is now alive. God's Spirit comes to live within you. An unholy spirit, a demon, there are no ghosts in this life, a demon cannot possess you when you're born again. Amen? Thank you. So let's continue on. So these are the three voices that you and I can hear from. These are three motivations in life. In general, just with what we looked at here, and just like how Jesus describes to us in Matthew 16, you can go through life as a Christian and go, God, which voice, which motivation is telling me, you know, this person is coming at me saying this is from God, or I hear stuff in the world. Is that from you, God? Is it that person? Is that Satan? Most of what you hear in the world is going to be a person's personal flesh telling you, or Satan. It's not going to come from God unless it's through another born-again Christian. All right, let's just continue on. So the next gift we're going to see here, okay, and we're going to try to close here in a bit. We're going to just lightly go through this, because the last teaching, you can go and listen to, I think it's part 9, we did look at this. Look at this here. The next gift is called, it says, to another, different kinds of tongues. So the gift of tongues. It's considered or called gift of tongues, or even a person's spiritual language. Just once again, it's language between you and God directly. It's vertical. It's not horizontal. So you're not going to be used by God. If you have this gift, you're not going to be used by God to preach to others. It's not a teaching capacity to it. Okay, that's important to know. But that person speaking it won't know. It will be a spiritual language. Either there are earthly language and angelic languages. It's just a spiritual gift. Here's what it says on our statement of faith. Like, do we at Calvary Chapel of the Cross and do Calvary Chapels as a whole believe in all the gifts? Yes. God isn't dead. Amen. We believe these gifts are still around. Here's what it says in one of our statements in the statement of faith. We believe the Bible clearly teaches that the spiritual gifts are for the edification of the body and that they are to be exercised in love. We believe that love is more important than the most spectacular gifts. We'll learn that in the next chapter. And without love, all exercise of spiritual gifts is worthless. In our services, we focus on a personal relationship with God through worship, prayer, and the teaching of the Word of God. Look at this as I color-code this in the red. We do not practice speaking in tongues during worship. So if you just read this, you realize, we do believe that gift exists. However, just like 1 Corinthians tells us not to do, we're not going to all stand up and go, abba, zabba, blabba, grabba. You know, if someone walks in, just like he says, they're going to think you're cuckoo crazy for Cocoa Puffs. Right? Who here knows that? I know that. You know, the very first time, real quickly, when I was a teenager, I think, someone invited me to a Bible study. I didn't know. I was just, Bible study, okay. I think it was just a friend that invited me. And I was there. It was in a household. And where I was sitting, it's just a few folks there. It was just a Bible study, I think, from a church. This is Orange County, California, when I was a kid. And then the one that was leading the group said something like, okay, now we're going to pray. And, okay. And then everybody started speaking in tongues at the same time. I'm like, oh. Now, I wasn't even saved at the time. I'm just looking around. That's weird. So I'm one of those guys that Paul's saying, if everybody's sitting there speaking in tongues and someone walks in, they're an unbeliever, I think you're crazy. Yeah, and that was me. I was a crazy guy that was in that Bible study. I think God allowed me to experience that so I would realize that's not biblical. And yet we do see that. I've seen that in churches. I'm like, not quite biblical. You might believe in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but go to chapter 14. two chapters later, that's not biblical. So here's what we say. We do not practice speaking in tongues during worship or while Bible study is in progress because we do not believe that the Holy Spirit would interrupt himself. God is not the author of confusion. You can read the rest of that later on. You can grab that. Either way, I have a printout, or you can go to our website. All right, so again, in the last teaching on this series, we discussed about the spiritual gift, especially as a contrast with the gift called prophecy. Prophecy, even speaking out from a pulpit, preaching, those are the Old Testament. The prophets, they were the preachers in the Old Testament. They would have God's word, and God would have them speak it out. Today, most of it's written. Can God give me a future prophecy? Yes. Just check it and track, potentially, let me just say, with a caveat, make sure that the will of God, if you think it's something God gave you, his will, his desire, make sure it fits with the word of God. Amen? And if it ain't, just like when you're eating chicken, what do you do with the bones? Spit it out, right? It's a simple way to look at it. Okay, don't get abused. So spiritual gift is where the person speaking a spiritual language. It could be a tongue, so to speak, of an angelic language. It could be an earthly language. But the person speaking know what they're saying. They're talking directly from their spirit to God using spiritual language. The focus is for God and not horizontal. Now that's important. Now this gift is considered one for self. So some might say, what's the only spiritual gift that's selfish, so to speak? This gift. Paul says, and you can see it too, the lesser gift. Why? Because this was not used to edify the church, to teach the church, to encourage the church. And there's a complementary gift with that as we close. What is that? The interpretation of tongues. So let's say someone were to stand up and speak in a congregational setting like this, and abba zabba blabba grabba, whatever they say, right? You're like, what is that? Is that from God? I'm not sure. And someone else does have the complementary gift called, and I don't have it, I don't believe I do, called the interpretation of tongues. I've heard from some people that I guess have that ability. When they hear someone speaking in a tongue, that they'll be able to hear it as if it's translating in their head and heart at the same time. I'm like, that's cool. Why didn't you give me that gift? You know, so not everybody's given that gift. But that's a supernatural ability to be able to, on the spot, give an accurate interpretation of what someone said using the gift of tongues. Now, again, the gift of tongues, if you want to call it that, or different kinds of tongues, it's vertical to God. That's important. This might be a lifesaver. This alone in this city could be a lifesaver. So hear this out. Check this out. If, say, you go to another setting and someone's standing up and they're speaking in tongues, so to speak, and someone comes up with a supposed interpretation. You don't know what the person said, and the person interpreting says, thus saith the Lord, someone here has a $100 or a $1,000 love offering. Come up right now. We're going to bless you. Now, what do you know about that? Number one, it's fake. Survey says, why? Because a gift of tongues is vertical to God, not outward to the people. Now, that's sad. And some might sit there and judge me like, well, come on, you shouldn't do that. Hey, I'm called to teach, preach, and exhort. I got to warn you. That exists today, sadly. We live in a day and age where you got to warn people. So if someone's supposedly giving a gift of, or using a tongue in a congregational group setting, and someone supposedly, they could even be in cahoots. Hey, you say this, abba zabba blabba grabba, and I'll come and say, God said give all your money. Because we want to go on a trip to the Bahamas, man. Now, can that abuse and fool Christians? Yeah. Yeah, that's why we need to warn you that it happens. So the gift of tongues, so to speak, is vertical to God. It's not God speaking to and through that person to the people. The gift of tongues is not that. So some call it your prayer language. You spiritually praying to God. Your spirit speaking to God with spiritual language. Okay, so just know that. That might save you spiritually. That might save you a ton of bucks, too. You know what I mean? Okay, so don't let anybody fool you. So in conclusion, verse 11 here. It says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, you guys know this graphic I have here that we use to display to you that our vision, so to speak, for you, your path with Jesus, we believe in what he says here, that this one Spirit distributes these different spiritual gifts, and they all come from the one Holy Spirit. And it says, he works all these things. You don't have to work for them. They're called gifts of grace. Amen? They're just given to you. The gifts of grace. And he's distributing to each one. He's going to distribute spiritual gifts, it says here, individually as he wills. And as you get to know your gifts, like here in this purple dot, You need to discover your spiritual gifts. Why? Because then you're going to know the will of God for your life. So when I knew these things, in simplicity, I looked at that and I'm like, okay, if you gave me the gift of teaching, first of all, I don't want it. Can I give it back? No. I try. Like, I want to be behind the scenes. I think I do better, or I used to think, because that was my will. I would rather push someone out and be the assistant to help them. I could do a great job there. I love that. Why? Because I don't have the pressure. That's the way I looked at it. And God's telling me, no, this is what I want you to do. I give you a spiritual gift, a supernatural gift. It's a gift to teach my word, to speak, to teach it, to break it down, and to spoon feed, to hand feed it to people. Okay, so he gives to each individually as he wills. I guess your will for my life is to teach your word. So I had to come to grips with that. It took me a while. You know, pray for me. I've healed through that. Praise God. But now I want to be able to love and help people. Because you want to know the very reason why you exist right now. Once you're saved, it's like, why don't you just take me home? I'd rather be in heaven. Anybody feel like that at times? Well, he's got you here. And while he has you here, you got to realize every Christian has a calling within the church, within the body of Christ. And once you discover what your gifts are, look at this again in verse 11 as we close. He distributes to each one, that's you. Individually, it says, as he wills. So discover what spiritual gifts you've been given. And then you're going to realize, this is why you created me. I'm created, look at this at the top of the screen, Ephesians 2, verse 10. You created me in Christ Jesus, and it's for good works. In the world, Satan wanted to use and abuse me. Any of you guys know that? He does that. He still does that. He wants you back. No. You belong to Jesus. You've been bought with a price, the price of the blood of Jesus. Amen? So you need to discover what his calling is for your life. Can we all stand, please? I'm going to just close this with a word of prayer. And then we can partake in our potluck party time. But as we close, I just want you to take these things to heart. Pray to the Lord. And we believe this is your path with God in life. Like, where are you in your journey with Jesus? If you're not saved, confess your sins to Jesus. That he's the Savior that died on the cross for all your sins. He died. He was buried. He was resurrected. And now he wants to give you a new life. It's through Jesus Christ. We got to celebrate that. His resurrection, and also now our resurrection, so to speak, from a dead life. He wants to give you a new beginning, a new hope. Amen? So if you're saved, then what? Then keep learning God's word. Read his word. If you need a Bible, we'll get you a free Bible. But keep coming in so we can love you and teach you and feed you his word. And then get baptized. It's declaring Jesus as your Lord. Baptized doesn't get you saved. Baptism is for the saved. And it's declaring publicly that Jesus is your Lord. Not just Savior for your sins, but you want him as the Lord of your life. And then typically what happens is you're going to have more and more desire to get closer to God, to hear more from God, to discover his plan, his purpose for your life. Start serving him publicly. And as you do, you're going to start to see what spiritual gift or gifts you have. And as you do, you'll become like me and you realize, verse 11 says, this is the will of God. That's what I've been praying for. But you're not going to find it if you just sit there like a car and park. You've got to put it into practice. You know, walk out your Christianity. So, Father in heaven, we ask that you would please empower us mightily from your Spirit, Lord. We all believe that we're sinners. Christ Jesus is our Savior. We ask that you would give us your help. Send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to help us to repent, to turn away from our sins, from that old life, that you give us a new beginning, a new hope, a new purpose, a new family with you as our Father. Help us, Father. Pour out your Spirit upon us. And help us, whenever we leave this place, whenever we leave this congregation and walk out into the world on the sidewalks, on the streets, we could be as a missionary, life on mission, living life on purpose for you. But help us to discover what spiritual gifts you've given each of us, that we can know and do your will, no longer living life for self or the devil. You bought us at the price of the blood of Jesus. We're so thankful, God. Empower us to walk for you and to glorify you daily, for we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.